Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing today? We're going to try that one more time. Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing today? There's my church. It's so great to see you guys this morning. Do we have any guests in the crowd? Any guests? If you're a first-time guest, go ahead and just raise your hand. We definitely love to welcome you. Come on, let's give it up for our guests this morning. Amazing. It's so amazing to see you. We'd like to also welcome our live stream. How are you guys doing today? It's amazing to see you and having you see us. It's just amazing. So we definitely want to welcome you guys to come on down to the service in person. We'd love to meet with you. We'd love to shake your hand, give you a hug. You know what I mean? So come on, make it down 9 and 11 every Sunday. You know this. We have a welcome room, actually, to our guests. So after service, if you want to go out the exit doors and turn left, there's another hallway, and somebody will be able to meet with you to guide you right over there. This Thursday, actually, between 6 and 8 p.m., we have our Celebrate Recovery, led by our own Josh Bacher and friends. And it's amazing. It's amazing for a group of men to be able to get together and celebrate the fact that they have recovered from the addiction that's been in their lives. So we definitely thank God for giving him that opportunity. Another thing is Welcome Home Weekend. Who's excited for Welcome Home Weekend? Last service, I forgot to give the dates. So the dates are between September 11th and the 12th. Saturday the 12th, we'll have a family fun event with games, prizes, food, and prizes. every prize. We'll also have an apple pie baking contest. I like vanilla ice cream with my apple pie. Is that weird? Right, hot apple pie. So you'll sign up in the foyer for the baking contest. And then also Sunday, we'll have a play and a special connect room and even a petting zoo after service where you can pet the zoo. Awesome. All right. Thanks, Pastor. I appreciate it. We'd love to have you stand real quick. Come on and stand up as we get started. As we get started, we'll have you stand and invite our pastor up.
Man, last night was so good. Oh my goodness, we had so much fun. You're wondering where Pastor Rhonda is. She's in the potty. She'll be out soon. When she comes out, you can clap for her. Amen. We are so excited. We've had such a phenomenal week. We laughed last. We left last Sunday after church and headed to Florida. And we were on Faith TV Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It was very exciting. And as you know, your pastor is about soul winning. Amen. Getting people born again, snatched out of hell and into heaven. Glory to God. That's what the church is here for. Amen. We actually gave, I think it was Tuesday. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was Tuesday. I actually preached. This service will be my eighth preaching service in 8 days. Tonight will be number 9. So I preached on Tuesday about soul winning and then led a sinner's prayer, and it was amazing. We were told that later, after 525 TV shows that they had done, we were the only ones who did soul winning. And I felt so burdened, and they did too. They felt burdened about it as well. But what was really cool was the results.
Oh my goodness, it was absolutely incredible. Pastor asked them if they prayed that prayer to type in, "I prayed that prayer." And it was wild. It was just scrolling across the screen. "I prayed that prayer, I prayed that prayer, I prayed that prayer." Amen. And even driving in this morning, people watching the replay, "I prayed that prayer, I prayed that prayer." It's just incredible the amount of souls that were touched through that. And then last night at Elmira Fest, 58 souls gave their heart to Jesus.
Amen.
So awesome and incredible.
And this morning in first service, I believe, I think we had a bunch raise their hand that didn't come forward. I think we had 4 raise their hands that did not come forward, but we had 4 people at least declare they wanted Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely.
So we're just excited. Tonight's going to be awesome. We had I think they said 800 registrations last night. And I know tonight will be more.
Yes.
So amen. Everybody wants the car.
So we need you, because this was a change up due to weather. It added the Sunday night. So we need volunteers to show up. I need you there at 4 p.m. They're going to have volunteer training and designation. Don't show up later than that if you're going to volunteer. 4:30, 5 o'clock, it'll be too late to get assigned something. So if you want to come and help and be a part of it, show up at 4 p.m. at Grove Park tonight. We need all hands on deck, because it's going to be a lot more people tonight, and we're going to see God move absolutely mightily in our community. It was such a powerful time. I love that Pastor really felt like we were to pray and break over the addictions and bondages and the things going on in our city. We've been given that authority as the church.
That's right, we're the church.
Whatever is bound on earth is bound
in heaven.
Whatever
we lead the way for change.
Yes.
Amen.
So it's such an awesome time to be there and to just declare and make the anointing known in that place. It was absolutely powerful, and we thank you if you're joining us today from the event. Thank you for joining us. Make sure if you're here to get your extra ticket for the car, because tonight we're giving away the car at the end of service. So make sure you got your extra tickets. You have 3 chances to win. If you were there last night, you got a ticket. If you showed up at church today and asked for a ticket at the Welcome Center, they were giving you a ticket. And tonight, if you show up, they will give you a 3rd ticket. So we're super excited to be able to be a blessing.
And I want to talk about a miracle. We only had 1 person mad at us on Facebook. Oh, my God, it's a miracle.
You can't please everybody. It's okay. We'll just keep loving and keep sharing the love of Jesus. No problem at all. All right, let's get ready for worship. Let's pray and usher in the anointing in this place today. Father, your word says where 2 or 3 are gathered, there you are in the midst. So we are so thankful.
Hallelujah.
For the corporate anointing, where 1 will put 1,000 to flight and 2 will put 10,000.
Yes.
Lord, we join together in unity.
Yes,
right,
in Jesus'
now,
name.
In your powerful presence. We
flood
know
your
we
house,
are
God.
Changed.
Flood your house.
We know peace comes.
Fill
we know
your house,
joy,
God.
Healing, deliverance, restoration.
Hallelujah.
Is in your presence, Lord. So right
Jesus.
Now, we thank you for the privilege of coming into your house, God, and glorifying your
yes.
name and lifting you high above
yes.
everything else. Everything swirling around
we
in minds
you.
Today, we set it aside, Lord, because we are in your presence.
Amen.
We desire to touch the hem of your garment, Jesus. Just Jesus. Something happens when we call
yes.
on the name
Amen.
Of Jesus. So this morning, we're calling on your name, Jesus, Jesus,
Hallelujah.
Jesus, Jesus.
Move
Get
by your
ready,
power,
let's
God.
Worship in the
Love
precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let's worship.
Hallelujah, gave me a reason to dance. He His body was broken for our transgressions. But I'm so glad that's not where the story ends. The Lamb that was slain that day rose in victory. And since that day, sin has lost its grip on me. Morning's here and I'm grateful. treasure, the only lasting thing is you. You are forever, you are forever. You are the one that I run to. You are my treasure, you are my treasure.
Lord, if I
to be where you are. I want to be where you are. I got to be where you are.
Oh, I want to be where you are.
I got to be where you are.
I want to be where you are.
I've got to be where you are.
I've got to be where
you are.
He's where you are.
I've got to be
Thank you that we can come into the presence of the Father. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. Thank you for washing us so that now the Father doesn't see us in our sinful nature, but he sees us clothed with your glory, your holiness. Thank you for the privilege of coming before the throne of God boldly. Father, hear our request. We want more of Jesus. God, we know we need more of you. We know, God, we need less of us. We don't always know how to do it, Father God. So please, teach us. Teach us to be more like your Son. Show us. Train us. Speak to us. God, we thank you that you are so patient. So many times, God, I just can't stop thanking you of how patient you are. For Lord, we are so many times foolish. But God, you are so long-suffering. And we honor you for it in Jesus' name. God's healing someone's trigger finger. That's all I can describe it as. When your finger locks up on your right-hand side, God is healing you right now. I believe there's tendons that are over-tightened, and God is going to loosen that without surgery in the name of Jesus. I don't know what this is, but this keeps coming. Phlebosis? Not sure if that's what it is. But God, whatever that is, you know what it is, and they know what it is, so thank you. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for that you are faithful to us. Lord, in the things we understand, and Lord, thank you for teaching us what we don't understand. That we can walk in the fullness of the Spirit. Thank you for the law of life in Christ Jesus. That we are not tethered to the laws of the natural, but we live by the laws of the kingdom. We live in victory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I love you. We're going to go meet and greet. Now, remember, on your meet and greet, you want to ask them if you can breach, you know, if they're uncomfortable, don't make them feel uncomfortable. But go find somebody you don't know. Come on, that means you got to get out of your chair, go find somebody you don't know and say, good morning, you look just marvelous today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome.
We're so glad to have you with us this morning. Yeah. Hey, Sherry, what's going on? We miss you as well. Wish you were here with us, but thankful that you're here on the internet looking at us.
Karam, God bless you. Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you for coming. Morning. Thank you for being online with us this morning.
Yeah.
Tell us where you're from. So we hope you're local and can come in and visit us in person. But if not, we'd love to see you online as well. God bless you. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Who else is on? Cindy. Let's say Cindy. Hey, no, I'm sorry. Jenny. Hey, Jenny. What's going on? Hope you're having a wonderful day.
Hi, Pamela.
Thank you for being with us. Hey, Bam. How are you? Well, enjoy yourself at the camp. Glad you can tune in with us this morning. Yes. We love you guys.
Yes. Tell us where you're from. We hope that you're local.
Who else is with us? Melanin? Hey, what's going on? I hope I pronounced your name right. Good morning.
Mike LePieber, Jenny.
Faith. Hey, Faith in Florida. Hope you're enjoying yourself. Yes, we great, miss you, great. Faith. Be glad when you return.
Yes.
Hope you're having fun.
Right.
All
good,
right.
Good. All right.
Bless you all.
Bless you.
Thank you. Thank you for being with
Jenny
us again.
Jenny Mindell, how are you?
Hey, did we miss
Arizona?
Wow. Nice.
Yes.
Great, Jenny.
Great.
Hope you're enjoying the rays out there.
Yes.
I know that's a little hot.
Yes. God bless you.
Hey, Mike. How are you? From Gardner, Mass. Yay, we were just down
right
in
now.
Mass.
Yes. Went fishing over there. Boston.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you
great,
for joining
great,
us.
Great.
Let's see.
Good
who
to
else
be here.
Is, who
good
else
to,
is with
else
us?
Is
okay.
Right. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for getting online.
Hey, guys.
We really appreciate it.
Love
Thank you.
You
so much. We look forward to seeing you in person. Well, yeah, we're running out of time,
we're
though.
We're running out of time.
We're blessed.
Thank you for being with us.
Yes.
We love you. We ask you. I hope you have a good week this week. And we want to hear from you continually.
Yes.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you.
We
God
appreciate
bless you.
You.
We appreciate you and love you very much. Thanks so much for getting
Thank
with
you
us.
So much.
Yes. It's a great time in God. Great time to
yes.
be alive. Great time to be in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Wishing you were here. Looking
yes.
forward to seeing you. God bless you. The blessings of God be upon you today and every day.
Thank you so much, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Bye bye now. We'll see you next time. Bye bye.
I don't remember who you are. See, it's empty. So if I lent this to you, if you could return it, this was a gift from my children about, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, and I would like it back. So if you borrowed my pen, personally, I lent it to you. I know I lent it to you. I remember handing it to you. I just can't see your face. So if you borrowed my pen, if you could just return it, it was a gift from my children. Well, let's welcome Pastor Rhonda Jean Spencer.
Wow. Awesome. We are entering into the time of tithes and offerings. And in this house, we just obey the word. We live according to the word of God. And so in Malachi 3:10, it tells us to bring all of the tithe into God's house so that there will be food in my house. And test me in this and see if I will not open the windows of heaven. And wow, is our God so faithful. We have testimony after testimony of financial increase and protection. When we put our finances in the supernatural hands of an almighty God, I know many of you right now are facing a time where your jobs, you don't know what's going to be happening in the future. Listen, Pastor Spencer. Wow, he is eating goodies right now. Okay, so on a very serious note, many of you are entering into a time where your jobs are at stake and you don't know what your future holds. Listen to the word of God and do not enter into fear. His word says, test me in this, and you, if you will not see that I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you cannot contain. God makes a way where it seems like there is no way. He can do the absolute impossible. So when you've moved your money from this natural realm that's up and down and insecure and you don't even know what tomorrow holds, when you move it from that realm into the supernatural hands of an almighty God by obeying his word, you don't have to fear for the future because your God will make a way where there is no way. In Matthew 23:23, he actually says, red letter, you tithe, this you ought to do. Now listen, the tithe, the word tithe, simply means 10%. It's not something a man made up or a pastor decided on. No, God established 10% of our income was holy and set apart to him. And when we love in this house setting apart our money unto God, because we've watched supernatural miracles of finances. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. And in this house, we declare the word of God over our finances. So every week we'll repeat and declare Deuteronomy 28, because his word says, when we send his word forth, and Isaiah tells us this, it has to perform. It does not return void. It accomplishes what it was sent to do. So when we give our money this morning, we're going to declare the word of the Lord over it. We're prophesying over our money, over our future, over our jobs, over our homes. We're prophesying that our finances are going forth and God is going to bless it supernaturally and it will not return void. Are you ready this morning? Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration this morning. This is not something that's religious that we do. This is you declaring over your money that God will bless and prosper you. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. It's great joy for him. So let's repeat it. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God, and I'm blessed. offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching by live stream, you can go on the website, click on the giving button, or text to give right along with us. Again? She vanished. Oh, she's here. We're just waiting. Happy birthday, Pastor Rhonda! Today we are celebrating Pastor Rhonda. We have a gift. This gift and these amazing flowers are from us as the staff. And we're going to honor Pastor Rhonda on her birthday today. So the Word of God says in Ephesians 5:1, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And I personally don't know anyone who epitomizes this scripture any more than Pastor Rhonda does, even as being a little child. Because we do trust God, and she shows us how to trust God as a little child and how to imitate God and how to walk in his ways. And that's what Pastor Rhonda shows us as our leader all the time, every day. It never changes. Consistently, faithfully, truthfully, in character and integrity and in strength. And that's what we glean from her. And so the word says also imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that's in 1 Corinthians 11:1. And so we get to imitate her. And one of the ways, well, first let's sing happy birthday. Want to sing happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Rhonda. Happy birthday to you. We love you. We love you. How many know that we also serve a very generous God? And how many know that Pastor Rhonda is a very generous person in imitating God? Well, we're going to give you an opportunity right now to give back that generosity, to imitate God in his generosity the way Pastor Rhonda shows us by taking up a special offering for her birthday. And so I challenge you, as she has given us the example of generosity in her life, that we reflect that back to her with our generosity this morning. So take a minute, fill out your envelope, prepare a gift for Pastor Rhonda for her birthday. The musicians are going to play a great song, and you can all bring your gifts up front for Pastor Rhonda for her birthday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can bring your gifts forward.
Praise the Lord. If you did not get an opportunity to fill something out, I know they prepared you last week. You'd like to Cash App her, it's Cash App Pastor Rhonda. That's a simple one, all right? I have great news, phlambosis is real. I was a little concerned. A disease that causes people to be overly dramatic. So if that's yours, you got delivered this morning. No, really, when God drops something in my spirit, I don't always understand it. You just got to do what you're told. So somebody who has phlambosis was set free today, online or in the room. I don't care who you are. Free is still free. Amen? Amen. I'm excited to preach today. Last night, we had a great time. I love seeing people saved and set free. I love 58 people came to the front, and I did see some folks not come all the way, but go back to their seats. I know at least four did. So over 60 people gave their hearts to Jesus Christ last night. Tonight, we're expecting more, and we're going to lay hands on sick folk. Amen? We're going to see God bring healing and miracles right out there on that green field. It's going to be an awesome time. This year has been the year of
Change.
This has been the year of
Change.
So those who are our guests, every year God gives me a theme and we build line upon line, precept upon precept with that theme to make sure that by the end of the year, you know what you're talking about. Sadly enough, if you're not here enough, you got like pieces of the puzzle. You know what I love to do to my wife is that when you give her a puzzle, my wife is one of those kind of people, the only time she's ever willing to really give up sleep is when she has a puzzle in front of her. She'll stay up till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, putting the pieces together of a puzzle. And what I love to do is steal one piece. There is nothing more exciting to me than when she starts searching all over the floor, blaming the dog. We don't have a dog anymore, so, you know, that's not going to happen. So, blaming it. Where's that piece? Because I don't care if you can see everything. Even if it's a lower corner and it's all white, it's still not together. And in the kingdom of God, there are many keys. And the problem is that sometimes you need a key to go through a certain door, but you have not heard. And so if you have not heard, you can't go through the door. It's important that you make sure that you're feeding your spirit to get the keys of the kingdom so that when it comes time for you that you need something from God, you have the key in your pocket with understanding how to open the supernatural to change your natural world. You see, that's the great part about who we are in the kingdom of God. We are not governed by this world system. We are governed by the kingdom principles. As Christians, as sons and daughters of the Most High, as citizens of heaven, we have to make sure that we lay hold of knowing who we are in Christ. The devil is banking on your ignorance. The devil is banking on your lack of understanding. The Bible actually is very clear and says this, is that my people perish for lack of knowledge. You see, when you don't know something, you just simply don't know. And the problem is when you need to know it and you don't know it, but it's been provided for you, then you get frustrated. And amazingly, people get frustrated at God and he had nothing to do with it. You just did not show up for your key. I have an issue right now, and that is I have lost two keys to the church. Yeah. So yesterday I had a meeting with Pastor Aaron. I sat outside. Because even though I'm the pastor of the church, even though I had the vision that built every part of this whole edifice, I couldn't get in because I didn't have the key. So it's important that you understand so that you have the right keys in your pocket to accomplish what God has for you. Because God has given everything he's going to give to us. I said, God has given everything he's going to give to us. Everything he's given us is what we need for godliness and success in this world and in the world to come. That's according to the word in 2 Peter chapter 1. So the issue is not that the keys are not available. The issue is, do you understand the keys that you should have or do have? Because when you do not understand, then you cannot unlock the door. And if you cannot unlock the door, you're sitting outside. Thank God it wasn't raining. Thank God it wasn't too sunny. But all I know was I couldn't get in. And I wanted to get in. Unless I was going to break in, but Jesus said he's the door. Anybody who breaks in is just a thief. You got to make sure that you get in the right way. That means you got to make sure you have the right keys. That means you got to make sure you have understanding. That means you got to make sure that you're in the house of God, in the word of God, and growing in the knowledge of God. Because especially in these last days, we are not going to have, come on now, we are not going to have the luxury of trying to fix things when they happen. We've got to have the answer before it happens and walk by faith and not by sight. This cannot be an accidental walk. This is going to be the just shall live by faith. We live by faith. What is faith? Faith is if God has said it, I believe it, and it is done. But it can't be done if you don't know the key. So this year, I want to make sure that we're grasping this. We went into the factor of that we're all called to be soul winners. Turn to someone and say, I am a soul winner. Oh, let's just play with it a little bit more. Turn to someone and say, I am a soul snatcher. It is more exciting being a soul snatcher than a soul winner. And we are really snatching them. We're snatching them out of hell and bringing them to heaven. Amen. You can take nothing to heaven but somebody else. Our job, and when the church loses its job, it's the blind leading the blind. You see, and this is where many believers are and many churches are. We are not doing the will of God. Jesus said, this is my family, those who do the will of my Father. But we are not, if we're not doing the will of the Father, then we've got to ask, what family are we part of? Are we part of a church family? Are we part of a religious family? Or are we part of the house of God? Because when we're part of the house of God, we have an understanding of the will of God. When we know the will of God, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Then we walk this way, and we obey the will of God. Last I knew, we were Pentecostal. Now, if you're going to turn Baptist on me, I'm not preaching here no more. The devil loves and understands that everything is spiritual first. And you and I must understand how the devil works. The problem when we don't understand the devil, not that we study him, not that we pay attention to him, not that we give him credit, but the Bible is very clear in 2 Corinthians that we cannot be ignorant of the devil's devices or his tactics. Tactics are real, and actually he hasn't changed them since the beginning of time. So what's happened is when the church is lack of understanding or when the church is ignorant, and I want to remind you that ignorant comes in two packages. The first package is I just have never been taught. And the second package is, I could have been taught, but chose not to be taught, and I don't know what I'm talking about. Now, in this house, you have only the last one available for you. Because we have rock solid faith being taught multiple times throughout the week. You can actually get online and watch it anytime you want. You can watch a whole year's worth. Ignorance is not bliss. And the devil is banking that you are going to remain a dumb Christian. I said, the devil is banking that you're going to remain a dumb Christian. Amen. That you will not know what you're talking about. That you will not know what you believe. Because if you do not know what you believe, then it is very simple for him to take back what God has blessed you with. This morning, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how to keep it. We've talked about that you are a witness. We've taught you how to share your faith. We've taught you that it is God's will to always heal, not sometimes heal, but always heal. We taught you in his word. We showed you in his word. We proved you in his word. And if it's proven in his word, that's all that matters. Can I hear an amen? And so then I taught you how to lay hands on people, how God will use you as a conduit to release the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That is, the anointing is released. It will bring order in someone's body, order in someone's life. You see, when you release the anointing and someone is sick, the anointing demands order to come at cell level, order to come at blood level, order to come at muscle level. And all these things got to respond. For every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want you to know that when you pray in the name of Jesus and the anointing is released, that the power of God surges through your body. There's healing in your hands. That's why he said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. When you do that, God's power will manifest. You'll release heaven to earth, and earth will have to submit to heaven's laws, and earth will have to submit to heaven. And here we have God manifesting his power in love, that man's faith does not have to be built upon the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. If the church doesn't get this, then literally we just wander around and increase our seat size. Christ never told us to sit and to save. He said, seek and save. But you see, this is where when the body does not do God's will, that literally we are the blind leading the blind. We got a little religious little commune that meets on Sundays. We all sing our kumbayas, our little feel goods, and we go home. But that's not why you're here. The anointing is to do work on behalf of heaven. Turn to somebody and say, I'm anointed. That wasn't exciting. I said, tell somebody, I'm anointed. The anointing is the power that flows from the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you. And if you are anointed, the anointing is to do work on behalf of heaven. So that's really why you're here. You're here to do work. You weren't born 5,000 years ago. You weren't born 200 years from now. You were born for this time and this season to do heaven's work on earth, that we will represent as ambassadors the very King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that we will manifest and show forth heaven on earth. Come on, we know the verse. We say it all the time. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How does that happen? You. So God said, when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. So the issue isn't that God wants to bless. The issue is that many people have been blessed and lost it. Today I want to teach you how not to lose God's blessing. The devil by nature is one who is constantly striving to steal, kill, and destroy. Remember, everything is spiritual first. So everything that happens is more spiritual than it is natural. We put more faith in the natural than we do in the spiritual. That's why when you sat on your chair, you didn't say, will this hold me? You just had faith that it would hold you and that you would be sitting there and be comfortable. When you came in this morning, you didn't question, I wonder if the air conditioner is going to work. Aren't you glad the air conditioner works? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You just had faith that it was going to work. But we've got to have our faith in the things of the kingdom to make sure that we as representation will be able to bring understanding to those who we are going to lay hands on, and God will heal because that's what he's called us to do. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That when you and I pray for somebody and God heals them, we also need to teach them how to keep it. But if you don't know how to keep it, how can you teach them to keep it? The very nature of the devil, again, everything being spiritual first, is found in Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away which was once sown in his heart. I always, for many years of preaching, thought that had to do with a sinner. But this has nothing to do with a sinner. Because I've met many ignorant Christians. Many Christians who do not understand. Many Christians who have not been taught. They've gone to church their whole life. My aunt and my uncle. My aunt told me and my uncle told me. How many years you've been saved? Yeah, I'm talking to you. How many years you've been born again? She'd been born again 65 years. You've been married 57 years, right? 56 years. I remember Uncle Harold. How long you been here now? Almost 6 years. They said they've been in church their whole lives. They said they learned more here in a year than they learned in about 25 to 30 in any other church. How is that? I don't want you to be dumb. Turn to somebody and say, dumb is not good. We want you to understand God's kingdom. We want you to understand how to not just get from heaven, but keep what heaven has for you. And the devil hates you so much. He despises you so much that he's hoping that your lack of understanding will allow the enemy. You see, we have an enemy. If you believe in Jesus, then you believe in the devil. And I need you to understand the devil is a sly old fox, that the devil is real and he has a design. The design, steal, kill, and destroy is that if God blesses you with something, he wants to make sure you don't keep it. But if you and I don't have an understanding that he will come and steal the seed of the word out of your heart, and literally you will lose God's blessing. And most people then turn and blame God. Well, I'm mad at God. That's just dumb. Why would you be mad at the one, the only one who can save you from your sin? The only one that can heal you. Why would you get mad at him? Well, I'm mad at God. So-and-so died. Well, you know what? That's just not smart. Maybe a lack of understanding brought an early death. How do we know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Many have died early because they did not discern the Lord's body. We take that when we take communion. Many people do not discern. They do not understand. Without an understanding, the devil can come and steal the seed of the word out of your life, because without understanding, then you cannot have faith. What you do not understand, you cannot have faith for. And if you do not have faith, you can't walk by faith. So you can only walk by sight. If you only walk by sight, then you're doomed. This is where the body of Christ has to have this apocalypsis, this unveiling, this revelation of God's word with clarity, so that not only we get the blessings, but we keep the blessing. Not only we lay hands on somebody, but then we teach them to bring understanding to their life, how to keep what God has blessed them with, because if God has blessed you for a minute, God doesn't think in man's timing at all. I want to remind you, there's two types of time. You have eternal time and you have linear time. I want to remind you why God created linear time. Linear time is minutes, is seconds, is minutes, is hours and days and so on and so forth. Why God created linear time was he, because of his foreknowledge, knew that Adam and Eve were going to commit high treason. And if God only had them in eternal time, then there would have been an eternal sin rather than a temporary sin because of linear time. Because God created linear time, it then allowed redemption to come. Because if it had been eternal time, there could have been no redemption. So we have to make a decision in our lives as we are walking by faith and not by sight, that we are going to live the understanding of God's keys in God's kingdom so the devil cannot steal them. This is why in these last days, you do not have the luxury, come on now, you do not have the luxury to be lazy in the kingdom of God. Persecution is truly coming. They're talking about shutting down the country again already. The nurses are dealing with having to even abandon their jobs. We're dealing with things that, man, we have never seen on the planet before. Persecution to the church is not abnormal. They have almost erased, they said, the underground church in Afghanistan. They've gone door to door and hung and literally decapitated men and literally taken the girls and put them in sex slavery just because they're born again. In Canada, they're putting the preachers in jail. Last year, when we decided that we were going to open the doors, even though we were told we can't open the doors, because I want you to know I obey God before I obey man. I had to make a decision. What was I willing to pay the price of persecution? And that price was $15,000 fine per service and or jail. That's the choice I had to make. Persecution is real. And the church does not have the luxury in these last days not to understand not only the keys to the kingdom, but the understanding of how to keep the promises that God has said are yea and amen. And then he sealed them with an oath. And when we lay hold of these promises, then we can have a confidence in him. And confidence is trust. And trust is faith, that we can walk by faith and not by sight. That even though it don't make sense, we know that it's ours. Because heaven said it's yours, and if God said it, God does it, because God cannot lie. Woo! You see, we've got to make a decision about this. Ignorance is not your friend. The devil just loves to take away what God has blessed you with. He hates you. It's time to hate the devil. Now, I'm telling you, man, what was the funniest thing that ever happened to me was, not ever, but, you know, it's funny. I remember. A dude came up and he said, I want you to know I'm praying for Satan to be saved. I said, wrong prayer. Ignorant. Satan despises everything that God has done for you. And he is consistently striving to steal the seed. Now, I want to remind you that life is in the seed. I want to remind you that the very pinnacle promise that even God, the kingdom of God, has to obey is called seed time and harvest, found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, that life in itself is in the seed. Even God, when he created the Garden of Eden, did not say, let there be garden, and there was, because God had already set in order the principles of the kingdom of seed time and harvest. God had to plant the garden. So God follows his own laws. And the devil knows that he can't overwhelm God with his laws, that he can't overtake God's laws. The only benefit he has is if you give up the laws. That's what I'm preaching about this morning. I'm almost ready to start. Satan really hasn't changed. The Bible says, don't be ignorant. I read that verse to you earlier. 2 Corinthians 2:11, to keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and his intentions. The devil's tactics really haven't changed. In fact, you know, going all the way back with Adam and Eve, one of the very first, this is my opinion, all right? I'm going to give you my opinion. I believe the very first sin was not eating the fruit. And by the way, it wasn't an apple. The Bible calls it a fruit. The very first sin, I don't believe, was eating the fruit. The very first sin was Eve generating conversation with the serpent and then agreeing with the serpent over God. And this is the collision that we have when we come to understanding. When we understand, I walk by faith and not by sight. When we understand God's word is the pinnacle, the final authority. When we understand that God cannot lie. When we understand he gave us a promise and then he gave us an oath. When we understand these principles, then when we agree with anything but, it is treason against God. Whoa. I'm about ready to give an altar call. The Bible says very clearly, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, stay alert. Watch out for your enemy. The devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. We're not afraid of the devil, but we can't be ignorant of how he works. I've watched time and time again, believer after believer, give up their walk with Jesus. Literally walk away from God. I've watched people, listen now, I've watched people live in sin and think that God is blessing their life of sin. That's the lack of understanding or sheer ignorance in the negative term. We've got to know how God works, but we also have to know how Satan works. Because if we're not aware of his tactics, then literally he can come in and steal from you your healing, your miracle, your salvation. Now listen, can the devil steal your salvation? No, you surrender it by his tactics. You surrender what you love and who you love for things that are foolish and temporary. You abandon the kingdom of God and go back to the world of the natural, which didn't work in the first place, and that's why you went to heaven's world. Isn't it amazing? You left the fire because it was hot, and you went to paradise, seated with Christ in heavenly places. But yet, for whatever reason, you're willing to surrender heaven to go back to the heat. Don't make sense to me. But it's a lack of understanding. Satan is banking of your lack of understanding of the scripture. That's why he's desperately trying to keep. Listen now, in this house should be full five times. You want to know why the house isn't full five times? Lack of understanding. Because the understanding is simple. Forsake not the assembling of yourself as a matter of some is, especially in the last days. The principle is as simple can get, but the thing is that people's understanding is, well, I can live any way I want, and God's going to bless me because I said that little prayer at the front. We've got to know understanding brings a revelation that we are walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. That we're walking in God's kingdom, the laws of life and death in Christ, the laws of life in Christ Jesus, not in the laws of death, which is talking about the natural world. All these principles bring us back to the understanding, comprehension of God's word. So then I can put faith in what I know. And because I know this, no one can shake me from it because I live in this. This is my life. This is what how I live. This is how I think. You see, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, your understanding. When we get this, then the devil can't steal anything. And I want you to know that he's active. We talk about laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. We talked about miracles, but you need to also know the difference between a miracle and a healing. These are very important understandings. Because we deal differently in faith, and the devil deals differently with his tactics between one and the other. A miracle is an instantaneous manifestation of God's power in a person's life, whether it be physical, whether it be financial, whether it be opening a Red Sea, whether it be getting your house, whether we could go through the list of miracles that everybody in this room in some capacity has experienced the miracle working power of God. But the amazing part about a miracle is a miracle doesn't take faith to get, but it takes faith to keep. Say it one more time. A miracle doesn't take faith to get, but it takes faith to keep, which we mean understanding. We've got to understand the tactics of the enemy where he's going to try to come and steal the seed of the word of God, the seed of truth out of your life. Therefore, it cannot sprout. Therefore, it cannot bring a harvest. Therefore, people get mad at God. Well, I prayed. Nothing happened. A miracle is that instantaneous thing. A healing is different. A healing is this. It is a progressive manifestation of God's power. Now, when you start talking about a miracle, I'm going to go back a little. Talk about a miracle. Look at the man with the pool of Bethesda. Jesus walked in there, and the man had been there 38 years. That's a long stinking time to be sitting by a pool. No one helped him in. He might have smelled just a tad. Here he is, man. He's by that pool. No one to help him put him in. If he got put in when it was stirred by the angel, then he'd be healed. The first one in got healed. Jesus walked in. He didn't know who Jesus was. He didn't have an understanding of what Jesus did. The Bible clearly shows that he was ignorant of who Christ was. But Christ walked up to him and said, "Do you want to be healed?" And he said, "Yes." And he got a miracle at that moment. Man, he was jumping around and shouting, doing great things. Why? Because Jesus gave him a miracle. He didn't have to exercise faith in the name of Jesus. And he didn't have to exercise faith in any manner to get what God gave him. How about the man at the gate beautiful? That's another miracle. Peter and John walk up to the gate. The man had been there. He's a beggar by trade. He had beggar's clothes on, and everybody knew him. But Peter and John probably walked by him. We don't even know how many times. But this time, the man started begging a little bit more. I don't know what caught their attention, but this we know. This we know. He looked at him and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And he reached down and grabbed the man's hand, and the man jumped up. And the Bible says that his ankles and his feet got strength, and he was able to jump and jump around and give God glory all through the temple. That was a miracle. The man he was expecting money, but he got a miracle power of heaven called a miracle. But a healing is different. It's progressive. Whether you get a miracle or a healing, the manifestation in the end is the same. It's called wellness. But the challenge that we have is we all want the miracle. But the truth is that most believers, God is going to work a healing. Why? Because we're called believers. And the devil is banking on the fact that you don't have enough faith to stand in faith for your own healing. Because if you have a lack of understanding, then no matter how much it is God's will that you get healed, you will actually debunk heaven from manifesting on earth with your own mouth and how you live and how you act and what you do. That's all right teaching. That's right. You'll get this. You get this, man. It's going to save you. This isn't something we talk about. This is something we walk. My wife got a healing this time. Got a miracle the first time. Woo, I love miracles. Wow. This time she got a healing. We're walking out the healing. The Bible talks about a healing very clearly in Luke chapter 17, 11 through 19 with the 10 lepers. Remember, they came to Jesus and they had leprosy. For those who don't know what leprosy is, it's a sickness that literally eats away at your flesh. So like say you had leprosy on your nose, maybe half of your nose would be actually eaten off. Leprosy is still around today. So these 10 lepers came to Jesus. We don't know the physical manifestation of their condition. We don't know what they looked like, if they were gory, nasty, or smelly, or whatever. But they came to Jesus, and Jesus looked at them, and he prayed for them. But then he said, "Go to the priest and show yourself." And the Bible says that on their way, they got their healing, which means it was progressive. We don't know how long it was to the priest, but from the time Jesus prayed for them, we saw no physical manifestation. They left the same way that they came, but by the time they got to the priest, before they got to the priest, they were healed, all 10 of them, and only one came back and gave Jesus praise. That is on your way. That means a progressive healing. How about Jesus in Mark chapter 8, 22 through 24, when he healed a blind man? He walked over. This man was blind and he spit in his hand. Come on now, America. You don't even double dip the chip. Jesus reached down, spit in his hand, took a little stuff and made some mud. Don't be touching me with that stuff. My favorite. We had a lady in our last church. She got her beautiful hair done. I mean, it was done nice. And she had on a real pretty dress. And we had an evangelist come into town. And he walked over to her. And she goes, "Now, don't push me down, okay? Because I just got my hair done. I don't want to get it messed up." And he goes, "Oh, honey, I'm not going to push you." And he got about 3 inches from her face. And she didn't fall backwards. She went in a pile. She was in a pile straight below. Her dress is all crinkled up. Her hair is all disheveled. When she got up about 20, 30 minutes later, he walked over and he goes, "You okay?" And she goes, "Oh, yeah." You got to know that Jesus made that mud and he put it on the dude's eyes. Come on, he spit, made mud and put it on his eyes. America, America, don't put that spit on me. Washed it off and Jesus said, "What do you see?" He says, "Well, I see men, but they look like trees walking." And so Jesus prayed for him again, and then his eyes were clear. I want you to know that sometimes it's progressive. Sometimes it's not instantaneous. A miracle does not need faith to get, but a miracle needs faith to keep. But healing needs faith to get, which means you got to have understanding, not only how to get it, which we've already explained how to get it, but now you got to understand how to keep it, because the devil's just waiting for that seed to land. And once it lands, he's hoping that you're ignorant so that he can come in and steal that seed, steal your blessing, steal your healing, steal your miracle, steal your family. But I'm here to tell you today, when you have understanding, you bind the devil and he flees like a little dog with a tail between his legs. When you understand, it changes everything. The difference between victory and failure is clear understanding. Not God. Amen? Is that okay, honey? I want to talk about the tactics. Because, like I said, he doesn't change. He hasn't really changed what he's done. There are certain tactics that he uses once you get your stuff. So, man, I've met so many people. They've come in and God, they've come to the front and they've confessed Jesus as their Savior. And they've had a genuine conversion. I'm talking like God touched their life. They could not deny that Jesus was real. There was a supernatural transformation, a supernatural experience with the living God. And by the time they get out in their car, their brain is telling them, or the enemy is telling them, that wasn't real. You made that up. See, you just got moved emotionally. Nothing really happened. And they talked themselves right out of eternity with Christ. That's a powerful tactic. It's called doubt. It's called fear. I've seen people get healed and I looked at them and I said, "You good now?" And they go, "Yeah, I'm just afraid that it's going to come back tomorrow." And it will. Because fear is the opposite of faith. Faith activates. It is the currency of heaven. Faith activates what God wants to do. And fear cuts it off. So when you start declaring fear, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For as a man thinks, so he is. As a man is, so he speaks. As a man speaks, so he gets. Our words are like a pen of a ready writer. See, when we understand, then we know we can stop and debunk even the floundering, even in our own faith. We can arrest it by the word of God. We don't have to let fear captivate us. We don't have to allow misunderstanding captivate us. We don't have to allow doubt to own us and steal the blessing of God. You've got to make a decision in your heart that God's word is the pinnacle authority. And if God said it, it is so. That's all we're going to believe. That's all we're going to allow. We must take into captivity every thought and imagination that raises itself up against God, because the enemy is striving to keep you in misunderstanding, to keep you from without understanding, so he can steal the seed of the word. And then the manifestation dies. So is it God's will for everybody to be healed? Absolutely. And when you get healed, you've got to make a decision that you're going to stand firm on God's word. You're not going to vacillate. You're going to identify the tactics. You're going to identify the schemes. You're going to identify the intentions of the enemy. And that is to steal, kill, and destroy from your spiritual life so that you will not walk as Christ said. God, we all, let's say the whole verse. The devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life and life ever more abundant. Not abundant life, but more than abundant life. A greater life. Man, how many Christians rarely live abundant lives? They very rarely live abundant lives because of their lack of understanding. When I started understanding the promises of God when it came to tithing and seeding, now my wife is the most generous person you ever get near. No, really, she is. I'm not even joking with you. I mean, she's emptied our bank account more than once without telling me. We go to a meeting, I just make sure she don't have a checkbook. Hallelujah. But I am not as giving. I'm just being honest. You don't mind me being honest, do you? I am not as giving. I like my toys. And I'm challenged when it comes to giving. Like, I heard that's true from the front row, my daughter. I heard it's true from my wife. And it is. It is absolutely true. Confession is good for the soul. But I've learned more. Thank you. Appreciate it. I've learned better, and now I'm a really good sower. I sow daily. When I talk about daily seed, I do it. When I talk about tithing, that's not even a question. That's never been a question since I was a child. Whenever I got a dollar, I gave a dime. Tithing was something normal brought up in mom and dad's house, but according to the word of God, I never even questioned tithing. But seeding, that is where the harvest is. But the problem is, I liked it in my pocket because sometimes the harvest took a little longer. I remember one story, man. I was down at Brother Ted's camp meeting and I had $400 Harley money sitting in my pocket. I was ordering some chrome for my motorcycle. Four $100 bills. And I remember I walked up and the Holy Spirit said, give it all. And I said, devil, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. So I went up and I gave two of the four. And I came back and sat at my seat. And the Holy Ghost said, I told you all of it. I said, devil, in Jesus' name, you know that's Harley money. The Lord said, I'm teaching you, give it all or I'll take it all. Well, it didn't take long, and they were removing the bucket, and I ran up, poosh, because I'm not dumb. I had a little lack of understanding, but I'm still not stupid. Obeying God always activates the eternal. And so, man, I got home, and before I knew it, somebody walked up and blessed me, and it wasn't 400, it was 500. And then I got a deal on the parts, and I saved another 100. And I said, well, Jesus, come on now. I like this sowing thing. So my understanding was open, so I started sowing more. And as I've sown more, I've always seen, you can't outgive God. Can I hear an amen? But understanding is everything. Another tactic that the devil uses is time. Time is an amazing creature. When you're talking about a progressive, when you're talking about a healing rather than a miracle, many times the enemy will use time as the defunct of what God's promises are in your life. Because if you agree that it's too much, now let's be honest, I don't always like God's timing. I sometimes think God is late. He says he's not. He'll always win the argument. But, you know, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. But let's be real. Timing is powerful. When you're releasing a healing, do you remember Jairus found in Mark chapter 5? Jairus came up. He was a man that should never have come to Jesus for help. But he had his baby's dying. His little girl's dying. And he loves his baby. And he's tried everything that he could do with the Roman world. And nothing worked. So what he did was he then came to Jesus. He fell down at Christ's feet. And he said, Jesus, if you come lay hands on my daughter, I know she'll be well. I don't know how he figured that out. I don't know if he understood the principles of laying hands and the anointing being released. But what he did know was this, that this was the last hope that he had. Jesus, if you come lay hands on my daughter, I know she'll be well. And Jesus said, okay, let's go. On the way, the woman with the issue of blood came in and disturbed Christ. Man took his attention away from going at Jairus' house. And then all of a sudden, after the woman with the issue of blood got healed, actually she got a miracle. After she got her miracle, then Jairus' servant came and said, don't bother the master, your baby girl has died. Now let's be real. If your kids have ever been sick, you know that's real. What did Jesus say? He said, Jairus, don't be afraid. Only believe. Only believe what? Only believe what you first said, that if I lay hands on your daughter, she'll be well. And Jairus kept the faith. Jairus did not allow time to steal the understanding of the message of Christ that said, if I do it, I'll come, I'll lay hands, she'll be healed. Well, reality said she was dead. You see, reality has to submit to eternity. Unless you surrender it through the lack of understanding or the willingness to not obey the keys. Jairus, they came to the house and the mourners are already in the house. Jesus walks in, but he only takes Peter, James, and John and mom and dad, Jairus, and they walk in the room. They kick all the mourners out. And Jesus said, she's not dead. She's going to be good now. And they all mocked him. You see, people can mock God all they want, but faith conquers all things. Can I hear an amen? Faith is the victory. You don't have a problem. Have faith in God and you can stand. And after you've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore in the power of his might. Don't be shaken. Don't be moved. Don't submit to time. Don't submit to reality. Declare the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus laid hands on that girl, and boom, she's up. Says, I'm hungry. I want a steak, medium rare, some mashed potatoes. Baby, give me some carrots so I can smash them in and mix them in with the mashed potatoes and put a lump of butter on there. Oh, I'm just talking about lunch. Let's keep moving now. Another tactic of the enemy to steal your healing, to steal your miracle, is sin. Sin will kill you. Get the sin out. Well, you know. No, I don't know. I know that it's bad. I know the wages of sin is death. I know I don't want to pay the piper. Because whatever you sow, you shall also reap. Bible says it clear, Galatians. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows of the spirit, he shall of the spirit reap eternal life. We choose the harvest we will have in our lives. And if God has healed us, then we can lose our healing. If God's given you a miracle, God, you can lose your miracle with sin. Keep the sin out of your life. But Pastor, where's the Bible say that? Very simple. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 16, talking again about the man at the pool of Bethesda who got the miracle. In verse 14, now he's dancing all over the place. In verse 14, Jesus bumps into him again at the temple. And this is what he says in verse 14. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you've been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. Sin will bring your sickness back. Get the sin out. Say amen or oh my. Amen. Here's the last one now. You're good. Now almost done. It's only been 3 hours and 42 minutes. You're in good shape. Your buttocks are in better shape than when I was at Brother Copeland's. These are thicker, thicker, thicker. If you'd like, we can get up and do some Christian calisthenics just to get you going. The last tactics is symptoms. Whenever you get a healing or you get a miracle, I've watched them come to the altar. And I've watched God manifest a supernatural healing or miracle. So let's say a miracle. I've seen people that have had knees that were impossible. They were worthless. They had to get surgery. There was bone on bone, constant agony, constant pain. And there was nothing that the doctors could do but go to surgery. They've come to the front. I've laid hands on them in the name of Jesus. I have felt the anointing. Remember, the anointing brings order. The body has to come into order as the anointing is released. So the moment hands are laid on you and healing is released, the anointing goes into your body. Cells start reacting. Bodies start removing. We find blood start coming into order. Everything starts happening. You might be progressive or you might be a miracle, but something is happening in the moment, for everything is spiritual first. And when the hands are laid on, then it's miracle working power being released. So they get healed right here. By the time they get back to their chair, their knee starts hurting. And they said, I guess I didn't get it. Boom. It's now gone. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you speak death to your miracle, you cancel heaven. Old song. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you speak. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you speak. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you speak. For what you say. For man says to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt, he shall have what he asks. When a symptom starts coming, and this morning at 4 a.m., as I'm just going to use practical principles, this morning at 4 a.m., my wife, she leaned over and she was getting out of bed, and I said, where you going? She says, I'm in pain. I'm in agony. This hurts. I said, well, let's rebuke the devil. So I brought her over and we laid hands on her in the name of Jesus. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke pain. I remember, God, I remind you, Isaiah chapter 51, verses 4-6 says that on Calvary, you took physical pain and emotional pain. And I bind the pain. I rebuke, I refuse. I stand against the pain that's in her body in the name of Jesus. She rolled that over and went to sleep. I didn't go back to sleep. She went to sleep. When you're walking out of healing, you deal with symptoms that strive to, you must rebuke the symptoms. You must stand against the symptoms, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You've got to stand. You've got to stand and rebuke. You've got to stand and refuse. You've got to stand on the word of God. You've got to declare the word above your circumstance, for God's word is supernatural. And when you release God's word and then you take authority in the name of Jesus, even your symptoms have got to submit to Jesus' name. So the issue isn't that God is good. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. The issue is, are we with lack of understanding to retain what God paid for instead of surrendering it to the enemy stealing our seed? This is a little deep stuff. But if you get this, all of a sudden you're a tither and a seeder and something's happened. You know, nurses, man, y'all calling me. It's not just one of you. Y'all calling me saying, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And, you know, I can't give you a suggestion, but, I give what I can. But I know if you're a tither and a seeder, guess what that means? Don't matter what happens. God's got to take care of you. No, you didn't understand what I just said. I didn't say God can take care of you. I said God's got to take care of you. I have people trying to draw me in to hear what I have to say about the vaccination, and I'll tell you very clearly what I say about the vaccination. Ready? It is not a sin. If you choose to take it, that's between you and God. If you choose not to take it, that's between you and God. Listen, I've had people already leave because I said that. And I'll have more people leave because I won't take a stance against the vaccination or for the vaccination. That is between you and Jesus. That is not my job as the church to tell you what to do with your body, just like it's not the government's job to tell you what to do with your body. Say amen.
Amen.
See, I got a greater amen at that, honey, than anything else in the sermon. You are going to lay hands on people and they're going to get healed. But now you've got to take it to the next step. And you've got to give them understanding of how the enemy is going to try to come and steal that seed. That's why I'm teaching you this morning. So that you can leave this place and know that if you're going to stand in faith against something, it is without question the enemy's coming. It is without question the enemy's going to try to steal that seed. It's without question he's going to try to steal, kill, and destroy what God has blessed you with. It's without question he's coming. The question is not that he's coming. The question is, what are you going to do when he comes? And your understanding determines whether you're going to have victory or failure. Not God. God's already provided it. So your stand is going to determine your success or your failure in retaining God's blessing in your life. Now, for me, in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, I want you to know that we are not successful because I'm a pastor. We're successful because I'm Michael Spencer and she's Rhonda Spencer. And we made a decision a long time ago. This isn't something that we are practicing or that we are just going to make a visitation every once in a while too. Or you know, well, I could be a little religious. No. This is a relationship with the living God who cut a covenant with us. And that covenant is yea and amen. And I know my God and I know him personally. And I know that if he promised it, he cannot lie. So I have a faith to stand on. I have a walk to stand on. And I know there's an enemy in my soul, but I know his tactics. So when he starts to come, listen now, I'm not shocked that he's coming, but when he comes, I'm going to let him know, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing that can conquer me, for I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. When you know that, it don't matter what weapon is formed against you, it can't prosper. The only weapon that can be formed against you that can prosper is the one you don't understand and you submit to. So, you know, in these last days, and we are in the last days, I know I talk to sinners who tell us we're in the last days. Sinners even believe it more than Christians do. You and I don't have the luxury to play Christianette anymore. We got to sell out to God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Which means we got to be word people. Yeah. Listen, you want to go to heaven? You better be a word person. Because when persecution comes, you're going to have to stand on the word. When they're going to tell you your job's gone, you're going to have to stand on the word. When they tell you that, listen, you're a Christian and we don't recognize you, we don't like you, in fact, you are hate mongers, you're going to have to stand on God's word. Because if you don't think that's coming, you need an awakening. You have a misunderstanding. There is coming a time, and it's coming soon, that the sheep and the goats will be separated in the body of Christ. And that only happens through persecution. So if you're not with understanding of how to stand, even in the challenging times, then you are going to flounder. That's not God's will for your life. He said, I've given you the whole armor of God. I've given you the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt shod with the preparation of truth, your feet shod with the gospel of Christ. You got the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and you've got, come on now, prayer to hold it all on. And I want to remind you, the only part unprotected on a Christian is your backside because you're running from the truth. So you got to know the truth. That's why ignorance is not bliss. I know I've taught. I didn't preach this morning. I taught more than I preached. And sometimes when I teach, I'll go longer. And I'll go longer simply because I want to make sure that there's clarity. When I preach, I'll paintbrush. When I teach, I want to make sure that you are without question knowing how to stand. And after you've done all you can do to stand, stand there for. Listen, God needs you. Well, I need God. No, no, no. God also needs you. You're his only plan. There is no plan B to save people. You're it. He needs you to share the gospel. He needs you to lay hands on the sick. He needs you to lead people to heaven. He needs you to disciple people. That's why you're here on the planet, not to make money, live in a nice house, and die. You're here for purpose. And in this house, we're always going to push you to purpose. If you've got breath, you're not done yet. Say amen. Amen. And if you don't, leave your seat to somebody else. We'll fill it. I'd like you to bow your heads with me this morning. There are people that come to church and don't have an understanding of salvation. They think it's joining an organization, joining a religion, being a nice person, being sincere. That's not truth. The truth is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The truth is, if a man confesses with his mouth, believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead, he shall be saved. The truth is, those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. The truth is, return to the Almighty, and he will restore you, change your life. That's the truth. Today, maybe you've come with an understanding that you just were doing a nice religious thing, pacifying, placating somebody to get them out of your hair. That's okay, but you now have enough faith to be saved. And if you're in this room, the Holy Spirit's drawing you. Today, if you need salvation, today, if you want Christ to pay the price for your sin so you don't have to, he said, I love you. I'll stick closer to you than a brother. I've got keys to the kingdom that you can live in success while you're on this planet. If today you need Jesus and you want him in your life, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait real long. Thank you. He's going to get himself right. Anybody else this morning? Thank you, sir. You can put it right back down. Anybody else this morning? Thank you very much. Anybody else this morning? Come on. Here's another misunderstanding. That you can pick your salvation day any day you want. I gave you the story last week about the woman who came up to me after 2 weeks, I think it was 2 weeks ago, she was telling me a story, where she was in a church up at the top of the lake, and somebody came and gave, an older person came to the altar, gave their heart to the Lord, walked back to their seat and dropped dead. She said she was literally given compressions. Died right there. Listen, that's too close. That's too close. Today, if you're not right with God, this is the last shot right this morning. And I don't know, it might be your last shot for eternity. Don't play games with God. If today you want to get your life right with God, I want you to slide your hand up real quick. 5, 4, 3, get your hand up. 2, last call. Thank you very much. And 1, let's all stand to our feet. Was that okay teaching this morning? I challenge you to join rock solid faith. You need rock solid faith. I'm not suggesting it. As your pastor, I am commissioning you to join rock solid faith. We have it available on Tuesday. We have it available online at any time you want it. Anytime you're free, you can watch it online. You can listen to it while you're driving. There's no excuse. You need rock solid faith. We're not building an ignorant church here. We're building sons and daughters of God who know what they believe. Father, in Jesus' name, I declare that this teaching, your word, I preached your word, I taught your word, that right now signs and wonders are being released in the house. I speak right now to organs in Jesus' name. I command you to act properly. I release the anointing of the Holy Spirit right now into bone and the marrow. I release right now the anointing of the Holy Spirit into muscle and the bone. I release the anointing of the Holy Spirit into the blood level and down to the cell level in Jesus' name. God, I command the bodies that are in this house and watching online to come into order in Jesus' name. Now, God, We want to be taught. As your word has been deposited, we ask, Holy Spirit, that when we start to rescind, we start to recant, we start to walk away from our promises, that you will bring this back to memory. Holy Spirit, I remind you what Jesus said about you, that he'll bring to remembrance all those things which he taught, which is talking about you. That we will live in victory and not defeat. That we will live in life with more abundance, not just abundance. And that we will show this world that our God is good and not bad, for the glory of heaven, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Those who raised their hands for salvation, right here is Mindy, right over by these balloons. And we want to pray with you. We want to get you a Bible. We want to make sure that you are right with God. Now listen, if you're fresh in the house, we also have a guest reception room right on the side, other side of this wall. This is a little snacks there, coffee there. We want to meet you. We want to say hello to you. We want to encourage you. You can meet some of the pastors and leaders. We want you to know that you are very loved in this house. So today, listen now, tonight, 4 o'clock, if you want to work. If you don't, we'll see you at 5:30, and come and bring sinners. We're going to be praying for sick folk tonight around the altar in Jesus' name. Right out on the grass, we're going to see miracles. I love you. Have an awesome week. Serve God with all of your hearts.